Questions? Rico?
Thank you. That report was very informative, and I really enjoyed talking to you last night about about the station and what it's like to GM there. I have heard in public comment a number of times people asking why wasn't there a proper notice of the meeting? And it's a question that I'd like to have the answer to as well. Because when, as a board member, and you hear these people come here and they're saying these things and you hear it repeatedly, you start wondering, okay, what's the story behind that? And then at the same time, I'm wondering if there had been more notice, we would have more people. We may have even more people saying the same things, or we may have people that were saying other things or the opposite, but it would give us a perspective better than what we have right now. And that's one question. The second question was there was someone who mentioned from the public that that they had a very difficult time with you meeting with the LSB, and I wanted to know what was the relationship between you and the LSB.
Okay. We should have had more notice in lots of ways. That's the first thing to affirm. That's something I would have liked. Only a part of it is, the challenge of our particular website, which is going to be completely redone. But I left instructions to have that information mounted there some time ago. We actually had problems with understanding what the agenda was until very, very late, and the timing. But there's no excuse for something that should have been done better. And the consequences you detail matter terribly to me. You know, I would like to see more people represented. That said, I wouldn't want to attempt to characterize beyond what I've said relations with LSB, because while they are a collective, there are lots of different people, and I have, you know, and we have lots of new people. I think most would say that there's some disputes and concerns that predated me and that have to do with processes that were not in my control. I will say further that I did change the dynamic of how work was conducted in terms of making sure that, that staff in particular were able to do their work unfettered. And on the other hand, I think it's been the experience of everyone that we've had lots of times where people simply could, you know, show up, staff in particular, without any notice, and that happened a lot in the beginning. I've never had more than 10 minutes on a LSB agenda. I mean, I've taken, you know, but that's been a lot of time from the beginning. And I would certainly welcome more. I'm impressed by the lack of the quality information, and I have tried to be very open about everything. And have gone out of my way to make everything within legal bounds accessible. The characterization of me as not open to working with them, despite the, you know, this kind of derision, I think is just uncalled for. I mean, it's something I really have as a core value, even when it's been real difficult. We've had board meetings recently characterized by things like, you know, calling the police, on other LSB members. And actually, the police on that occasion asked me to close the meeting down, and I didn't, out of deference to the opportunity for LSB to meet. And I don't mean to do anecdotal reasoning, because any story taken out of context is just as distorting as some of the ones that you've heard. The last LSB meeting, I had things that were over this particular personnel action, where I'm obliged not to comment in any detail. I can share with everyone that the resolution, as far as the person is concerned, who I as I said, just talked to an hour ago, is something entirely amicable, and in everything was in the best interest of the station. But that resulted in what I characterize as personal threats to me. Okay? All right.
Nia.
Hello, Grigsby. And
hello.
Thanks for the part autobiographical report and part WPFW report. Thank you for that. Now, you mentioned that the revenues grew 10%.
No, I said they're 10 times.
I'm sorry, that they're 10 times what you...
And they're not revenues, it's the cash in the bank.
Right, the cash in the bank. Any particular projects that you initiated that generated, and how much was the cash in the bank 6 months ago, and how much is it now? Because I was looking, and I don't see it here.
There was $18,000 in the bank in June 30th of 2009. We didn't have money for the next payroll. We didn't have money for the next month's rent.
$18,000.
Okay. There are a number of initiatives, and I could single them out. I was trying to leave more time deliberately, but I would point to, because they address some of the other concerns registered. We during this time, we've gotten more than twice the foundation money we'd gotten in the previous year. We have an important initiative with against obesity through our airwaves from the UCLA medical school. This is something that will involve our airtime and bring young people in schools, people in workplaces, to our airwaves for an interactive session. Very simply, you can understand it as high concept. Movement is one of the forgotten elements as an intervention in what is an epidemic in our region and many other places. And when you consider who are the world experts in inducing people to move, don't sleep on disc jockeys. And we have the best anywhere. We really should be listening to WPFW right now. We own Saturdays and Sundays in this town. That's part of it. But there are many other things. We have refined how we do on-air fundraising. It's going to be even better coming up this next month. We've been training people for months. We have pitch ambassadors who are going to pair with people in shows. They've been going and getting to know the on-air programmers. I mean, there are lots of those kinds of things, just that single modality. And we're doing much, much more. We have been constantly contacting our listener base in all kinds of ways. But as I say, this is just survival mode. This is just redressing the kinds of neglect that have been going on for a while, and it's not the answer, but that's the difference. I mean, 10 times 18,000 is not a whole lot, but it's a measure of the pattern. I could say equally, if you're looking at patterns, we moved into our present location in the spring of 1996. Right now, we have less production capability. We can do far less in production than we could then. And the equipment is now at least 6 or 7 generations behind. Go ahead.
Alex.
I just want to say, Grigsby, that I'm very impressed by the presentation you made, and I can't tell you how impressed I am that you personally knew C.L.R. James, who was one of the most brilliant people of the 20th century.
He was a major force, his thought behind this station.
Author of the most important book on Haiti ever written, as a matter of fact, The Black Jacobins.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the foundation is enormously fortunate to have somebody like you who is so dedicated and could clearly has inspired the staff. I was very impressed by the reception last night and the positive feelings among the staff. And I've now resolved that I'm going to start listening to some of the programs on WPFW on the internet when I get back to New York. That's how impressed I've been. So thank you very much, and I really commend you for holding up under some very adverse conditions that you've had to face.
Thank you.
Andrea.
He answered.
Okay. Kathy.
Yes, I also wanted to thank you for your presentation, and it's sort of calm wisdom is very inspiring to me. I just wanted to mention, I don't know how things work here, but in New York City, the LSB has a lot of responsibility for communicating and giving knowledge to the listeners. And if the LSB doesn't take that responsibility, there's almost no way for the staff at the station to really know what's going on. So I think that there's at the very least a shared responsibility if the listeners are not getting proper notice. And, you know, I even find sometimes, even in the New York LSB, we're so busy chattering with each other, we forget that there's a whole cadre of listeners who need to be informed about what's going on. I did have a question that's sort of not related, but only because you have a history of WPFW. In New York, there's some bone of contention about the quality of the contribution of WBAI, and I'm wondering if you have any knowledge of WBAI offering financial assistance to WPFW, if you could attest to that fact, or is it completely a myth, as some people claim? Do you have any knowledge?
I don't know, and I'm trying to unearth these stories. There's a equally compelling storyline that has it going the other way. No, and I'm not trying to diminish that. And I think it's important for us to look at all of this story. It's important and not be afraid of what we discover in all of that. The relationship of these East Coast stations is critical. As I say, it was largely people on PFW's board, including someone who did a stint as manager of BAI, Ed Goodman, who I worked with very closely. One of the challenges now in terms of finding out a lot of these things is a lot of the people I was closest to in the early days of PFW are no longer around. I mean, I was good friends with Pepsi Charles at PEI, and our first station manager, who was the first black station manager in Pacific at a time when there was no such thing as a black person on its board, died less than 5 years later. So, I mean, that's part of the challenge of telling the story, but I don't know, and I would like to find out as well.
Sean.
Hey, Grigsby. First of all, you have my condolences about people calling police at your meeting. It sounds like you're taking a page out of KPFK's LSB meetings. Sorry to hear that. And without going into any proprietary matters, we keep hearing different stories or narratives about what's going on with your building. Mm-hmm. We know that when you came on board, you were on shaky ground. Could you kind of tell us what's going on with the building or moving or anything like that?
Okay. Yeah, it's important to understand. You can hear it directly from me. We're in a situation where we are absolutely obliged to move. We have to find a building. We've known this for some time. The fact that we're able to have a three-year lease currently is a bit of an extension on what was put forth earlier. But this is the absolute drop-dead deadline. A developer who owns the church next to us and the rights to our building has plans to put up a Marriott hotel where we are. And it's consistent with what's happening in the neighborhood where they're now, you know, upscale condos and the like all around. And we're challenged already to be able to even afford a parking space where it's now, you know, $2 an hour to park in, you know, at a meter around us. And the largest single source of revenue in this town is parking meters. Yeah. But I didn't discover that our lease was up in the end of November until I called in the broker for the building's owner. You know, and I make a point of just system. You know, I had a checklist for working with, and some of that checklist was useful if outdated. I had the checklist I used to start the station. But the rules have changed. You know, we didn't have a chief engineer as was required when we went on the air. We certainly didn't have the year's operating capital as was required when we went on the air. But the same kinds of things were necessary. And going down that checklist, I called in the broker for the building, and that's how I found out that, oh, your lease is up, and we haven't been able to get in touch with anybody to get a response on that. Polling everybody around me, they said, I didn't know. This is not what we were told. We were told we had at least another year.
Please.
Okay.
Please, with the audience, not make comments while people are speaking.
And I was obliged to then figure out options, including, you know, just calculating what can we do? How long does it take to move? We're fortunate to have others with, you know, very detailed institutional memories. One of the challenges is when you go to capture the stories or you go to capture skills, you're always encountering people who have abuse stories. Okay? I talked to the people who moved our station from right two blocks down at 7th and H to our present location. You know, that Fuddruckers upstairs, that used to be us, and we could have owned that building. Yep. But it was a Pacifica decision that we couldn't be bothered then. And so but I talked to that person, and of course, as soon as I mentioned that I was talking to that person, people within the network I was dealing with said, is he allowed in your station? Isn't he banned? And it's a real bracing object lesson. But we did a calculus as to how long it would take us to move if we had a location to move to right then. And there was no way we could do it. Just no way. And that's with the, you know, what if scenario of, okay, we'd have a place identified and paid for right now. And of course, keep in mind, this is the same time I'm operating with the serial emergencies of, your antenna wants to shut you down in September because they've had this project for 10 years and they've been trying to get in touch with the general manager for 3 years. You don't have enough money to, you know, go forward, and there's nobody paying attention to what's happening, and what's coming out of national office is just more expenses. You know, and everything seemed to be going the other side of the ledger. So in that light, and of course we had an incident that came before the board of people from our LSB, whatever their motives may have been, somehow stumbling upon this negotiation. And we ended up in a situation where we had no leverage. And we did what we could to be where we could be, which is continuing our lease where we are and trying to make the best of it and raise the money. It's hard to negotiate when they know you can't move anywhere. So that's what we did. And we paid a premium for not having a lot of money, enough money, because if ideally we would have done a shorter term lease, but it would have been a lot more expensive. We would have taken a hit in December. And keep in mind, everything, including the UCLA money, and I don't have to tell you that the CPB money was 2 months late. Stuff that was budgeted for coming in October came in late December. And so we had to allow for that kind of radical contingency, having just come away from really being on the brink. So that's how the decision was made. And yet somehow this is another point of contention about how much money we're paying for a lease. So, any other questions?
Yes, there are a bunch, actually. Kamari?
Thank you. Once I got onto the LSB, even with Ron Pinchback, as a staff rep, so that means I represent the volunteers. They voted me. The staff voted me. They didn't vote me because I like a person. They voted me for what I stand for in the community, for the visuals that they see that I've done throughout the last 20 years, letting young people come to the community and be a part of the process of democracy. Now, I have nothing against my brother that's sitting here, and when I say this, I want you all to know that, because, again, you all are just coming in. Since July, we have asked Mr. Hubbard to give us a report that breaks down things in template form. Even today, this is what we have been continually to get in a report. Nothing broken down, nothing stating the facts of what we asked for. Now, just at our last LSB meeting, and I'm the staff representative elected to the national board dealing with the Sidrack Franklin situation. When I talked to Mr. Franklin last week, he was not going on the way to the hospital. When I talked to Mr. Sidrack last week, I asked, did he need anybody to be a staff rep to sit in with his negotiations of getting his job back? He told me that, let me just take you back to our LSB meeting that we just had. The interim general manager was asked, did he have anything to do with the firing of...
Kamari, this is a personnel issue.
Okay.
You can't go into the details of the transaction.
I'm not
going to
go into the details.
But all
I'm saying is that there was some things that was told to us as an LSB body that when I talk to the staff person as a rep, there are big discrepancies.
Do you have a question? Do you have a question you wanted to ask?
Yes, I'd like to ask Mr. Grisby, of all of these changes that he has made and coming to us as an LSB, and saying that we would not engage with them,
since July, when we have been trying to engage with him, where he will get up and just walk out of the meetings, go back to his office or pout or whatever, we are sitting there as an LSB and we're watching this. And even the new members on the board had to address the same issues that we have been addressing since July. And all we have been asking for is clarity. It's very simple. It's not something that you go to the mountaintop to get. And that's all we've been asking for. And I'm not characterizing this brother, because I think he's a good person and the spirit is there. But the way the process has worked in front of us as an elected body for my staff members, I'm going to fight for my staff members. And that's my bottom line. I'm going to bat for the staff. And when I hear something that I'm hearing, and then the staff member tells me something different, it bothers me. Because, and I'm closing out on this, coming from an organization that just fired everybody just for unionizing, I've been in this process before. And it's, like I said, WPFW is becoming from progressive to aggressive.
There was no question in that. Did you want
there
to
was no question.
Yeah. Gamble. You're on the list.
Marcel's there. Please.
Yes, there's been quite a narrative that's been given here. And the thing that I just find so amazing is that I've been in the room. I've been chair of the Finance Committee when we had meetings at which we could not get any substance, when we've had meetings to try to present a budget, off-air budget revenue strategy, where there was no engagement whatsoever, and I don't see one in the last budget template that we have. I'm very disappointed, and I would think that the board might be disappointed as well, in the one-page report we have, and this was supposed to be a report, an annual report. This is an annual meeting. KPFA has a 22-page report with charts, figures, etc. It's no figures, no real documentation. What we're interested in, what I'm interested in, is facts. I'm interested in results and accomplishments. Now, I must admit also that the first one, we got a budget template, but it had no realistic numbers. It was just the template from Efren, straight up. And they were just placeholder numbers sitting in there. And I don't understand why we were given this kind of information as a report. Well, subsequently, the reports that we've gotten have been like the one that appears in here. And I would like to ask the interim general manager, when will we be getting what, if you need an outline, I can provide it for you. When will we be getting something that a national board could consider as being an annual report on the WPFW station?
I'm happy to provide whatever particulars this body or the LSB may need. There's been a good deal of confusion. I'm very uncomfortable with this anecdotal reasoning, particularly when most of the things are just used as clubs. I recall very, very vividly the first time we met as a finance committee, and I told you early in the meeting that I had canceled our contract with a vendor. We were not going to have any subsequent years of the duck race, which lost $18,000. And you proceeded to continue to talk about what we were going to be doing at duck races in subsequent years. And I would invite any one of you to take a look at Campbell Johnson's strategy for off-air revenue. I would invite a look at it. I welcome that as a model for what we're talking about in terms of this kind of engagement. I'm sorry, should I respond?
No, you should not be responding to the audience, please. You are not part of this board. You're here as guests, and we welcome you as guests. But as guests, we expect a certain kind of respect for the people who are here in order to, in this case, to come to a better understanding of what's going on at PFW. And it frankly isn't much assistance to have you shouting insults or calling out insults from the audience.
Mr. Chair, we are asking for a response to the question.
How can it ever talk about the budget?
I'd like to, please let me go on. Maybe that'll help, you know, quell some of the difficulty. We get caught up in process concerns, and I really want to stay on the substance of it. We have a very unnecessarily prolonged budget process, and a budget is a very useful tool. I found, in fact, the fact that we were dealing with a national budget template that didn't reflect some of the realities of our station really Procrustean, and yet we wanted to work with it, even though there got to be things where we literally weren't able to feed into having a dialogue about it, and we couldn't, and there were mechanical challenges like opening up cells within the template. I mean, anybody who had to work with this understand the real challenges of this, and it wasn't a very very useful process, whereas it really should be. You know, I'm the first to affirm, one, we need to give timely and complete information to our LSB and subsequently to everyone. This is the kind of thing that we have to get good at. What remains in the way is this business of talking about process and not very clear process concerns. I mean, at no point has anyone come to me and said, this is exactly what we want. Everything I've proffered has been, you know, I have created instruments for my use, like something that shows me every single day we generate something that tells me exactly how much money we have in the bank, how much of a net allowing for the checks that are out, what those checks are, and the aging of receivables, including our central services, and the dates on that. Every single day I have an updated one of those. Now, even, excuse me, I'm sorry, I think I'm still talking. Do you mind?
You aren't on subject at all.
I'm talking about financial.
I'm sorry. Please. He is speaking to the answer to, as I get it, he is speaking to answer your question, which was a request about how am I getting financial information?
Exactly.
And he's answering the question as far as I can tell, so please
I am trying, with your indulgence. Even when I presented to the LSB, one of those where that daily showed a negative balance. And this is not that long ago. A negative balance. There were no follow-up questions. And this was derided by Campbell as a bank statement and of no value whatsoever. I trust the power of narrative, and I was trying to make things concise because I know we always have the intrusion of things like the story elements, you know, the things that fit into, oh, we're doing arbitrary firings again, and we don't have that fleshed out by the story of, you know, a grateful union representative saying, finally, somebody who's you know, pro-union and pro-worker sitting down and talking with me at Pacifica. You know, finally somebody who can, they were making jokes about Pacifica saying, oh, maybe we should have a Pacifica rule in there where, you know, we're allowed to, the union is allowed to come in and find illegal employees, or maybe we should have a Pacifica rule where it says if you've been there, you know, as a contract worker for 3 years full time, you know, you should join the union, you know? Those were the kinds of things that we dealt with. This is more context. I'm sorry, George, I've been going on too long. Annual report question, Campbell. You seem disturbed. What is the annual report concern?
Excuse me?
You are persisting in saying that, so I'm asking you what your question is.
I asked you when we could get an annual report that would be of the, let's say, general format of the KPFA annual report that we have, that has facts, figures, trends, that identifies what has taken place during the prior year. And I need to refresh your memory, and I would also encourage all of the board members to read the off-air revenue strategy, because in the first paragraph it states that in our first meeting with Mr. Grigsby, he indicated that he did not want any more projects like the duck race. I never wanted the duck race. I never wanted it. I provided several analyses and asked for staff analyses on it. Let me finish, please.
Well, I'm not clear what you're finishing.
A statement had been made, and I'm trying to add a little bit of context to it that has been raised before, and I'd like to get a responsive response to the question that I had asked.
Okay. He asked you a direct question, which was, when will I get a statement, something like
an annual report?
And so can you answer that? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No one asked for a point of personal privilege, and I'm not interested in arguing with the audience. Would you answer the question?
I'm happy to work with this LSB to supply them with any information in whatever format they have. I'm sorry. I'm having trouble.
A date.
I'm wondering if there's any value in continuing this. Yes.
We'd allocated 1 hour for this, and we're at 61 minutes right now, and about 35 minutes ago, Grigsby offered to allow some of his time for the LSB. So can we...
I'm aware of that, Bill. The question in my mind is the following. We have some time for the chair of the LSB. What we're seeing here is a conflict at the station. We have another half an hour, more or less, before we have to go to dinner. Shall we extend this time? Is this conversation useful? Is it doing anything positive? Do we want to continue it?
Chairman.
If we continue it, we need to extend time. So this is what I'm asking the board. We have Richard, Bill, Afia, Lavarne, Marcel, and Summer on the stack. And so my question is, again, do we want to extend time in order to, let's say, finish the stack, which is going to take the rest of the time?
Excuse me. What are we not going to be able to do that we would normally do? What's the next thing on the agenda?
The next thing on the agenda is the Governance Committee report. There's certainly not enough time to really do much with that, but we could do it if you want. That's the next item on the agenda. We're going into committee reports, and that's the first one.
Mr. Chair, I move that we extend for 20 minutes to let Mr. Hubbard finish his comments, and then for the LSB to have some
second.
Of their comments.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
Yes. Yes, Campbell?
Yes. There are numerous questions that I know a number of people have, and I'd like them to have the opportunity to ask these.
I'm hoping that the answers that they receive will be responsive and to the point so that they can be getting some real information, so that they can be getting some real information that can be useful. And we've also been passed a number of questions from persons who are familiar with WPFW in the audience. So I would trust that we would have an opportunity to share these with Mr. Grigsby and with the board as well.
So you're arguing to extend time.
Thank you.
Is there any objection? I would say we should extend it right up to 6 o'clock, but we need to give Renee a chance to speak. So. Perhaps your 20 minutes is just about right, Richard.
But can we have real questions and not organized torment of Grigsby?
The people on the stack will be the people who get to answer the questions. Is there any objection to extending the time?
No.
Okay. Hearing none. The next person on the stack is Richard.
Mr. Hubbard. For your important and difficult service to WPFW and your town and Pacifica, I thank you.
Bill.
I'm going to pass. I'd like to have more time for the LSB to have a chance to speak.
Afia.
Briefly, just as an example of I represent WMXP-LP out of Greenville, South Carolina, as an affiliate, and as an example of the relationship between Pacifica and the sister stations, we use Jazz and Justice. We broadcast Jazz and Justice off the internet, as well as other stations, BAI especially. And so I wanted you and the folk here from the signal area to be aware of the breadth of the usefulness of the programming of the station.
LaVarne.
First, I'd like to say thank you to Grigsby Hubbard that... you know, your response and your dignity in such unpleasantness is just totally to be admired. I may have experienced something like that in my lifetime, but I'm not afraid of it. Mm-hmm. But the other point is just to thank you again for being the host, and that the party last night was very good. I got a chance to talk to a number of people. And that, again, the surroundings here in terms of in this gallery is, like, most favorable to a meeting. And maybe it has tempered some of the responses. But but anyway, thank you. Thank the people again of PFW and for the team that you're leading. And you are a leader to this group. I realize that. Thank you.
You're all welcome.
Marcel.
All right.
Would someone give Marcel a microphone?
All right. Sorry about that. I always think I don't need a mic. Okay. I just wanted to comment on a specific issue that you raised, Grigsby, sure. About instant recess. Remember instant recess as a revenue stream? We have a longtime programmer. Her name is Joni Eisenberg. And Joni has a program called To Heal DC, which came out of a whole collaborative effort of health professionals in the District of Columbia, who have been pursuing this grant, to my knowledge, for over a year, Grigsby.
Not this grant.
Yeah, the Instant Recess grant. That's what she told me. And I serve on the Instant Recess Grant Advisory Board. So I'm not just kind of speaking here. So I understand that you might not have been aware of that, but she had been seeking this grant for over a year. I'd been speaking to her about the doctor and how to broadcast, and she was
she just was very enthusiastic that WPFW would be able to broadcast this, because if this works, it can go network-wide, and it will give us another way to raise funds. But I think since she has pursued it so actively, and since when I first started to come to WPFW, it was working with Joni through this kind of health collaborative. It's really my first intro into being inside the building. I've listened and paid money, but, you know, only got in once before. And then I could come in regularly. So I just want to say that that is really, you know, this is really where this grant started. That's the genesis of this grant, which was a programmer who had a mission for health and who brought it to WPFW as a platform to get the message out. And I think it's a disservice all the way around to passion and to people who contribute when we don't just, you know, just present this in a way that gives credit to everyone. Certainly, your help is necessary and needed for this program to go forward. But I think that it's not fair to give her the credit, since she has, you know, this woman has bled over this for years. Thank you.
Yeah.
No.
I'll talk to you. No, I'm in the middle of the meeting. I'm happy to acknowledge Joni's central contribution there, and I didn't mean to suborn that into, you know, with in anything else. I mean, I am privileged to work with a lot of talented people, an incredible array of people. I think one of the great opportunities and one of the most exhilarating parts of this job is to figure out how to harness these incredible talents and take them to another level. When I came back to the station, I found in many ways a station better than I could have imagined. The reality of what had been just an idea within the music to have a world-class brand to build on because of diverse talents. As I say, you know, quite exhilarating. We do have to figure out how to harness that. And the example of what happened at the station before, which is something that we're supposed to be meeting on, to just have a particular session on lessons learned from what went wrong before with a similar initiative, largely due to internal difficulties. I mean, to speak specifically, this person, this same programmer, was, you know, literally hauled out and put up for censure and called out before an investigation within the city government for her work at the radio station. This is a number member of the LSB. So this is the kind of context that we talk about, not just enabling and helping out and closing the deal, but protecting people. So I'm the last person to want to, lay claim to somebody else's efforts, but I could be here all night going through giving credits for a lot of the particular things that go on here. So that's the context.
Well, just one other comment. I do not want to get into a back and forth. I have no interest in that. But she's also the principal investigator on this project, and I understand that position is now being watered down through some context. I don't know all the particulars, but the bottom line here is just that I know for a fact that this person worked very hard for a very long time and spent a lot of their own personal capital trying to bring something to the community, to help the community. And I think in that fashion, if we are justice, then we have to operate from that premise.
Thank you. Summer.
I'd like to add my thanks to you for hosting us very well and providing a really excellent venue and the lovely reception last night. And literally one of your board members lent me the coat on my back right now because I didn't have anything warm enough to come to D.C. in. So yeah. You know,
we've
I mean,
got some great,
you've got
great
some really people. Wonderful people here in Washington,
we do,
and we really appreciate it. On the finance issue, just... It's not even in defense, maybe clarity. You know, having served as KPFK's treasurer for the last 2 years and been on the National Finance Committee for the last 2 years, I know we all had trouble this year because of those templates. So it isn't just you. That was a nightmare. That's why the budgets were 7 months late. Every single station was having a really hard time getting budgets done. We all got things with placeholder numbers in them. So that's just that was a shared collective problem across the entire network. That wasn't you, that was everybody. Okay. And on the off-air revenue strategy, and not commenting on its meritorious nature or not, it got voted down on the National Finance Committee, not because of its merits, but because off-air revenue usually doesn't generate much revenue. We've all had these experiences of raising funds, and we often spend way more money than we're able to raise, or we raise a little bit. So people just looked at it from a practical perspective. And again, not to the merits of it in particular, but that all of these off-air strategies are often better as publicity things and to draw the community in, but not necessarily to increase your actual revenue by a tremendous amount. So I just, you know, these decisions are shared not just by management, but, you know, the board's participation, all of these things. So I just feel, you know, it seems like you're taking a lot of direct heat on these things, and I know that we've all had these problems this year, and we've all considered these same issues. So anyway, thank you for your hospitality.
Thank you.
I have a point of information. Where is this off-air strategy, Campbell? Where can we find it?
I will. It's in the NFC information. I'll send it to everyone.
You'll email it to us.
Okay. Yes.
We are. Campbell, you have about a minute or so if you'd like to summarize or say anything in conclusion, and then we're going to have 10 minutes for Renee.
You addressed me as Campbell, did you not? It's okay. It's okay.
Grigsby, I'm sorry.
You were looking at me, and I can infer that you actually meant me. Thank you, George. It's okay. No offense taken.
Call him Joe.
I just want to, again, offer my thanks to everyone for coming here, and I hope that you take the work of many people that's evident in, you know, the arrangements that are made for you as an emblem of the kind of good work that we're about here. And I would just invite you to reframe, not dismiss, the comments of all of these people. They are invoking principles that are dear to me, and that makes it all the more painful. And I want to, in the practical understanding of what it's going to take for us to move forward, want to reaffirm my commitment to working openly and collaboratively with all of these people, all of us together. I mean, it's not dismissive or otherizing people, but I mean, they become an other when, you know, they're behind particular charges that I trust are very much misstated, particularly in the instance of treatment of people, something that's a core principle. We are obliged to make some difficult decisions, and we should not shy away from those, even at the cost of attack that seems to be par for what business we're in right now. I'm challenged to speak coherently, but I do want to reaffirm my own commitment to working with this body and with my local station board. And there are a number of, you know, really wonderful, committed people. I have witnessed recently, as this past election, many people opting out because it was such a toxic and divisive thing. As recently as days before the close of our election, particularly on the programmer side, there were people who listened to an LSB show where members of our LSB attacked the election supervisor and Grace Aaron on our air, and they just said, I'm not going near that. That I have people, you know, on my, you know, as I work with every day now, who have been on this LSB, who said, I just couldn't take it. I just had to leave. Okay.
Thank you. Renee?